This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play Stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, Dibs, your Masters pick stinks.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry for that.
No, don't do that yet. It's not over. You know me. I never think it's over. I did this.
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
Nothing is over until we decide it is. And I did
Animal House.
I remember we used to do that at Candlestick Park going into the bottom of the ninth every single time the Giants were losing.
Yeah.
The whole crowd would go crazy.
Yeah.
Nothing is over until we decide it is.
That's right.
And then you'd lose 8-5
right.
And go home.
Yeah.
Anyway,
whatever.
No, I did this with the lovely Christy. We went to we do our date night Saturdays, and we're driving from one place to the other. And I told you about that Burren House in San Rafael.
Oh yeah,
new bar, love it. We'll be there again. But we're going over there, and remember, she got Houston in the NCAA dealio.
Oh yeah,
and they're down. And they're down. They're down the whole night. They're down 11.
Against Duke.
Yeah, now they're down 7. Now they're down 10. Now they're down 6. Now they're down 9. And she's like, they're not going to win this game. But she gets very mad at my constant, like, it's not over.
Right.
We can do it.
Yeah. Honestly, by the time we get to Friday,
yeah.
I've about had it too, Christy.
Nobody likes it. But there's nothing I could do because that's who I am.
You're like the Giants. Nobody like us.
Exactly. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, so I wouldn't say anything because it ticks her off. So she'd be like, don't tell me, because I kept looking at the phone. And she's like, I don't even want to know because I already know they're going to lose. And I would just give her a look like with my eyebrows. I would just do the eyebrows because they would like cut it to 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd be like, I mean, probably not.
Yeah.
And then I told you, I went to the restroom. They were down 9. They cut it to 5. I went, better go watch this. And then the last 90 seconds went perfect. And Houston beat Duke. And Joaquin Niemann can still win the Masters.
Yep. And so that's for the audience, that's the pick I gave Mark. And Mark threw a little bit of chicken on it. And he started out 3-under through 4. And I was texting Mark, and you actually responded with one of my favorite things ever. You responded with, it was either Daffy Duck or Donald. It was Donald Duck, like flipping money in the air.
Yeah, Donald was making it rain.
We were 4 holes into it.
We were 4 holes in.
And he
there were only 68 holes left.
Right.
I thought we had it.
He's been 2 over since then for his last 32.
Yeah,
but anyway.
He's made some bogeys today. But
yeah.
Anyway.
That was my pick, and my picks do stink.
I think he's right. Yeah, well, they do now unless the man starts going on a run.
Yeah.
He might go on a run.
Long way to go.
I would like all of you to take a run over to Twitter so that we can get engaged. Let's do it. Let's get engaged, Dub Nation. Before every game, you can vote in our engaging Dub Nation poll. It's on 95.7 The Game's Twitter page. It's brought to you by Shane Co., your friend and jeweler, where you'll find the Bay Area's best selection of unique engagement rings and their unmatched free lifetime warranty. Visit ShaneCo.com today. All right, so back to it. After the Warriors beat the Lakers and Nuggets on back-to-back nights, they were on a streak, right? They had won five games in a row. What did you think the Warriors were capable of doing in the playoffs then? And then compare that to how you feel now after losses in two of the last three games to the Rockets and Spurs. Has your confidence wavered at all? You can vote in the poll on our 95.7 The Game Twitter page. Let us know. We'll check in on those results later on in the show and at the end of the show. And I have to look at kind of like, Grandy, how did you phrase it? Is it just a yes or a no? Confidence waver? I'm a no. Hard no. Not at all. Again, Steve Kerr is like, I mean, we're a good basketball team. We're a very, very good basketball team. I don't think they're head and shoulders above anybody in the West. I also don't think anybody in the West is head and shoulders above them. I could argue that once we get to these damn playoffs, this is going to be about as compelling as anything the NBA ever has to offer in the playoffs. Because I don't think there's going to be any series at all where you look at it and you're like, well, that's going to be over 4 or 5 games. Maybe if Memphis plays Oklahoma City, maybe I'll feel that way. If that's the 1-8 game, something like that, or if Dallas or Sac comes out of there and goes to OKC, I'll feel that way. Outside of that, dude, this is great stuff. It's going to be a great first round where all of the series could go either way.
No doubt. And I guess the minimum would be 16 games among the four first round series. The maximum would be 28 if all four went to 7. I would bet that we get more than 20 games between the four first round series, which would be 5-5, 5-5 on average.
Oh, yeah. I'll take the over.
Yeah, even like thinking about 22 games, which would be 2 5s and 2 6s, would be 22 games, yeah. Which you can't have many more. You can't have any more than 28.
28 is the max.
And I guess I'll take the under 16 on would be the fewer. So, I mean, yeah. 22 would be kind of about what it feels like. I do think that at least one, if not two, series will go 7.
Well, I mean, let's play with it as if what we're looking at right now is actually the way that it plays out.
Okay,
let's do that. So right now, Minnesota, it would be the 8. And Minnesota, now I'd argue Minnesota's not going to be the 8 because Memphis is the 7, which means that Memphis is going to play Minnesota, and Minnesota will kick the living crap out of Memphis.
Again.
So, actually, let's go on that premise. Let's say Memphis is the 8,
right?
Minnesota's the 7, and the rest of it plays. If Minnesota and Houston, long series?
6.
At least. I agree.
Yeah, right.
Oklahoma City, Memphis.
Maybe 5.
5. Yeah.
I could see a sweep, though.
Nuggets, Clippers.
That feels to me like at least 6. 6. Like a 6 for sure.
And Warriors, Lakers.
I mean, 11.
6. Right.
11.
Right. So, like, I actually would take, if that's the way it plays, yes, give me over 22.
Right.
I think that 3 of those are at least 6-game series. And,
yep.
And absolutely, I bet that at least one or two of them will spill into 7.
And even if you mixed up the matchups and you made it like Nuggets-Warriors, that's going to be 6 or 7. Clippers-Lakers, that's going to be 6 or 7. And I think that Houston, no matter who they play, Minnesota or Memphis, the same. I do think that Oklahoma City could possibly sweep Memphis if it's a 1-8.
Maybe.
Just because, you know, they're rested. And that is, for Memphis, a bad matchup because Oklahoma City's better at everything that Memphis wants to do. They're just better at that. Minnesota OKC, that's different because Minnesota can really put out a lot of size
that
OKC would have a little bit more trouble with.
At least John Morant has a new celebration. Did you see that?
And I love it, yeah.
Oh, you do, or are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm being dead serious. I love
really?
It. Yes, like pull the grenade.
He's now throwing a grenade into the stands and covering his ears.
Right.
So, okay.
Well, honestly, if we can just spend a brief moment on the whole idea of... So I know that he's had a history of actual gun, not gun violence per se.
That we know of.
Right. But he's been involved in gun incidents.
Yes.
And so we as an NBA, we don't want to have our players mimicking gun celebrations. But we as an American society, we love guns. Maybe not here in California in our little enclave, but here in this country, there are more guns than there are people in the country. So for a guy to not be able to do a gun celebration, is it because he has a gun history? Or like if Steph Curry, and I know it's a bad example because he would never, but if Steph were to pull guns into rat-a-tat-tat after a big three, would that be something that they would really come down on? Or is it just because it's Ja? I wonder about that.
And Steph Curry would come down on himself if he did that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
just I do, but...
Just because this something is prevalent in society does not mean that it rises to the bar of appropriateness at all levels. Like, do you know what I mean?
Actually, yeah, one of the... Why is it inappropriate, I wonder?
Well, like, first, for two reasons, I would argue. One, the corporation that is employing you does not want to do that.
Okay.
They do not want to do that. And two, you specifically have earned... The scenario where this goes from playful and fun to not fun because you have been involved in right. incidents that are serious.
So it is about him.
Absolutely.
At least in some small way.
Absolutely. Right.
Did you guys hear what he said about it the other day?
No.
He talked about it yesterday. He said, quote, the grenade celebration, quote, "That's my celebration now until somebody else has a problem with it and I'll find another one."
Yeah.
Oh,
which would be rocket launcher.
There's no doubt. Yeah,
rocket launcher's next.
No
and
doubt.
All you have to do is pull the rocket from behind you and go on the shoulder yeah. and then like have a little recoil.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
When are we going to do bow and arrow? Do we get to do bow and arrow at some point? Like, yes, it's clear to me that Ja is trying to clap back by manipulating this in such a way so that he can try to prove a point. And he's got a platform, so he's allowed to do that, and he has his opinion, and that's fine. And it's not for you or me to deal with. It's for Adam Silver to deal with. But I have no issue with the fact that his employer does not want him being playful around fans with the idea of guns. He's earned that.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, and ultimately...
I don't feel bad for that at all.
It's his employer, and you're right. Yeah. And so... You know, all of it becomes, I think, a little bit of a slippery slope on what's okay and what's not okay in terms of, you know, what the employer wants them to do.
All right, we're live in the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed here in San Francisco. Warriors in Portland tonight, tip-off at 7. Warriors live with Grandy's at 6. Presented by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. And we're sponsored by Chilton Auto Body. We mentioned that Steve Kerr said some things about Jonathan Kuminga. We will play that for you here in a little bit. We want to get to that, discuss it a little bit. We don't want to spend the rest of the show on it. We won't. But also, the voice of the Dubs, Tim Roy, in Portland, is going to join us. Coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Ball goes to Mamu Kelishvili. He's open for three. Can't find the range. Butler ripped the rebound away in traffic. Takes it far side. Hand off Buddy Hield.
Oh,
back
nice.
To Butler. Pump fake. Throws it out to Curry. It's a three ball. It's a new millennium fast break. The buckets go to the Spurs. What another timeout. And Chase Center brought to its feet as Curry has an 11-point quarter, a 21-point game.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, we don't need a recorded Tim. We got live Tim right now.
I love live Tim.
Yeah, let's go to the River Islands guest line. Big night in Portland. We especially appreciate it on a game night. Tim Roy joins us live on Willard and Dibs. Hey, Tim, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How are you? Just getting ready for the game.
Yeah, I bet you are. And we're doing great. I think we've appropriately had enough time away from Wednesday to regain perspective. But what was your takeaway from that one?
Is that, you know, you don't want to play a team that not only has, you know, they're playing with house money, but they're also playing with purpose. And by that, I mean that they have really nothing to play for except their pride. And that's a franchise that has traditionally, you know, not, you know, as you know, much as they've, you know, tanked in past years and gotten three incredible draft picks, but they still have a culture of playing hard. And that's what they ran into the other night. And I thought they, again, it's not an excuse, but I do think there has been a toll taken by that stretch of games that they went through. The 2-week road trip followed by the 4-game gauntlet right at the end of it, which included a couple of home games. And so I think there is a, maybe not as much a physical toll, but a psychological toll. I think mentally they were tired in the fourth quarter.
Is it tough in those spots for teams to still get up for an opponent that doesn't have Wembanyama and doesn't have De'Aaron Fox, and much like tonight where, you know, Portland's going to be missing a small handful of players? Or is a team at this point able to still be motivated knowing it's the penultimate game?
Well, Tibbs, you know, you're playing in the park, and you got a guy that you know you can beat. You know, you're not as intense as a guy that, I better lace him up here. I got to play my best to beat this guy. It's human nature, I think, to occasionally look past an opponent, and that's why they call them trap games, because you know you try to convince yourself mentally, okay, I'm ready for this game, we're gonna do it, and then, but deep inside your psyche and in your heart of hearts, you're going, okay, if we play, okay, we'll win this game. And so that's what I think you have to face in the NBA a lot of times is facing that kind of a mental hurdle. And so so I think that's what they faced in those couple of games. And I give credit to San Antonio. I thought they played really hard and really well.
Tim Roy with us, voice of the Dubs on Willard and Dibs. Tim, when you prep for a game, when you go into a game, like what's the thing or two that you look at and go, if the Warriors do this, they'll win?
Well, in years gone by, when they had their great teams, it was always turnovers. You know, if they don't turn the ball over, they're going to give themselves a chance to win because they have all that tremendous firepower. In this particular edition of the Warriors, turnovers are always a key, obviously, but they really haven't turned the ball over at an alarming rate this year. They're right in the middle of the pack, which for them is really good. But I think for the Warriors, just getting good shots and not passing up good shots. Their offense hasn't been as great as it's been in the past. It's really a sort of a middle of the pack offense. Their defense has been good all year long, top 10 all year. And really good since Jimmy Butler arrived. So I'm not as concerned about that. I do get concerned about the offense sometimes when it tends to bog down and they tend to really struggle to get a good look at the basket.
When you think about this being a make-or-miss league and you've got Steph Curry, who is the greatest shooter of all time, when you look beyond that, is it as simple as, well, Pods and Buddy and everybody else, they have to be able to make threes or else this team is in some real trouble?
Yeah, I think at times they relied a little too much on it. I think it'll be different in the playoffs. I'll tell you why. By all accounts, playoff Jimmy Butler is a real deal, and then teams are going to run Steph off the 3-point line. So I think in the playoffs you'll see this team more looking for twos than threes. I think they'll be getting more twos than threes. I think teams will try to keep Buddy Hield, Steph Curry, Pajemski, Moses Moody in the corner, try to keep them from getting into a groove there. And so I think you'll see the Warriors having to come off the line and maybe pull up for a two. So I think in the playoffs, I think they'll be shooting a lot more twos than they did in the regular season.
Tim, obviously, get in and you get what you get. I understand that's job number one. But are there any Western Conference opponents that you see as potentially more difficult than others for the Warriors?
Well, first and foremost, Oklahoma City is better than anybody else in the West. They're the best team. You don't want to play them if you can help it. But, personally, I think the matchups for them are better against teams not from L.A. I think the Clippers are a tough matchup for them because Kawhi Leonard is healthy. And when he's healthy and playing well, he's one of the best players in the game. And he does it without the fanfare or the look at me stuff. And they've got Norman Powell back now. So that team scares me. And the Lakers scare me because, you never know when you're going to run into a quarter where they're going to shoot, 20 free throws. And so that's a big concern for me. Though I will say this, the last game the Warriors played against the Lakers, the matchups weren't nearly as extreme because they don't have Anthony Davis anymore. And when Jackson Hayes went off the floor, the Warriors got to the rim whenever they wanted. So I think that that matchup is curious. And if they do end up playing them in the first round, I'm really curious to see those matchups because I think they're a little more favorable for the Warriors, even though they have Luka, who's unguardable at times. But I think that the fact they don't have the dominating inside presence, I think, would really help Golden State.
That was a weird game because it felt like the Lakers were a little bit out of sorts until the fourth quarter. And I thought, Tim, that that was one of the higher-level fourth quarters of NBA that I've seen this year. And Austin Reeves suddenly woke up, and it was a back-and-forth affair. When you look at a game like that and a matchup like that, is it one where the Warriors are going to favor more of an up-tempo style to beat a team like L.A.?
I think the Warriors would, again, going back to shot selection, I think any time they can push the pace is better because they get into early offense, teams aren't able to set up their offense, and you get a better shot that way, and usually you do. And so I think playing up-tempo against, you know, any opponent will favor Golden State, especially an opponent, you know, like L.A.
Tim, we talked to Steve Kerr yesterday, and we certainly we asked him how Jonathan Kuminga was doing as far as kind of getting acclimated with the Jimmy Butler group and what this would mean for the playoffs. We want to play this for everybody, let him hear it, and then I would love to ask you something about it. Here it is.
You know, Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning. And Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went like, you know, 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning. But the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, frankly. It just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked. And this is just part of the deal, you know, being in the NBA. And you got to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And you know, there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening, and I have to read that as a coach.
Okay, so what do you think that means for Jonathan's role in the postseason?
I just think he's probably going to play more with Steph Curry on the floor. That's what it sounds like to me. That if Curry's off the floor and they're playing Jimmy Butler with Draymond, like that group that starts the second quarter, I think he's also pointing out that's why Quentin Post is a key for that group because he provides them with spacing because they have to honor Quentin at the 3-point line. If you don't, he's got to knock down. He's got to keep shooting him until he knocks down a couple. So that's what I'm looking at. I think you'll see Jonathan's minutes be more with Steph on the floor than say with Jimmy.
And when you look at Jonathan on the floor, and you know, Mark and I were talking about this a little bit during the break, and is he a three? Is he a four? Is it more positionless with Jonathan? And if so, with whom does Jonathan fit the best when he's out there for those 20 or so minutes?
Again, I think that's something that they're gonna find out. I think he could play with Draymond and with Steph because there's better spacing there. So you know, I think, and of course, don't forget that as we head to the postseason, those rotations will get shortened a little bit because you can't. There's nothing to. There's no back to backs. There's no three games in four nights. You'll have rest between games, and so it's time to play your best people and your best combinations. But I think there will be a role for Jonathan. I just think that, again, it's going to be one where, you know, he's going to find his way. But I think, again, I go back, it's going to be with Steph Curry, maybe with Draymond. Maybe they bring Quentin Post out to play with Jonathan and Steph. You know, these are all, you know, possible combinations that they could use.
Do you have any secrets you want to tell us about the availability of Quentin Post and GP2 tonight?
Last I looked, they were questionable on the injury report, but I haven't checked it for a few hours.
Yeah.
Did you see Quentin Post and was he sneezing or coughing, Tim?
No, I did not see Quentin face to face.
Okay.
So I can neither confirm nor deny that.
Okay. Nice. All right. Okay. They do both remain questionable at this hour. Hey, what do you see with Moses Moody? What is this just, hey, got to see one go in and then everything's okay, or is there more to work on?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, because you know, if you look at his track record this year, you know, he's been really consistent, and I think he's hit kind of a rough patch, lost a little bit of his confidence. And so I think, you know, if he sees a couple go down tonight, that would really help him. And I think, you know, to get back to that consistent, you know, 10-point-a-game guy. And, you know, going back to the San Antonio game, if you have games where, you know, Kuminga doesn't play great and Pajemski didn't have a great night, Moody didn't have a great night, if those guys don't have, you know, collectively all don't play well, that's going to be a tough night for Golden State, because they need those extra points. They need those extra right decisions and good plays to help them and to help their big three. So, you know, again, I think Moses has been very consistent this year, you know, since about midseason. So I'm not really super worried about him right now. And he is kind of an unflappable kid. I don't think pressure really gets to him. Now, you know, confidence, that's another thing. He needs to see a couple of them go in.
No doubt, and I think that outside of Steph, they all need a couple of them to go in, because they shot 48 the other night, and they went 16 of 48. And as I was pointing out to Mark before, 33% from three is kind of the line of demarcation, where if they're at that or below, they lose two of every three games. I wonder what your thoughts are, Tim, about fatigue and just overall fatigue and how important it is for this older team to avoid the play-in tournament.
Well, I think anytime you get a couple of days off at this time of the year is really good. It's really helpful, because you get all those, you know, aches and sore ankles and sore backs and everything else, and you also get a little bit of a mental break. So I think staying out of the play-in, and then the other fact, you know, when we've seen this with the Warriors in the past, you weren't up against a team that, you know, all of a sudden, you know, the Grizzlies that one time, everybody's hitting threes. They had guys parked out in the corner who usually don't take threes. They were knocking down threes. You know, LeBron James banked in a shot in a big moment in a play-in game against the Warriors, and he banked it in. And from three, from straight out, you know, anything could happen in those games. And you could play well and lose if the other team plays great and gets lucky. So you desperately want to stay out of that scenario, because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, I think it's been great for the league. You know, we had all this positioning, you know, drama going on the last 2 weeks of the season because of the play-in game. But I think if you're a team, you want to desperately stay out of that if you can.
Yeah, I think that's pretty good analysis. Tim, thanks so much, and have a great call. We'll be hearing a lot from you shortly.
And Dibs, I really was hoping Steve would say yes to your suggestion of sitting in the third row. I was looking forward to seeing you down there in sweats.
Yes, yeah. And I was hoping the same thing, and I offered that up to the YouTube audience. And, you know, Steve would know that if I was there, it would be a collaboration sensation, Tim.
Oh, there you go. See, I can throw a lob pass.
Yeah. Unbelievable. A 48-hour setup.
Throw a lob pass.
A 48-hour setup just for that, Tim.
All right, guys, enjoy your Friday, yes. and enjoy the weekend. Should be fun on tonight and Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy it, Tim.
Yep. Have a great call. Thanks,
and on
Tim.
From there, yeah.
All right.
He's the best.
There you go. And, yeah, he is the best.
I mean, honestly, a little bit of a secret dream to be in that third row, because there's two rows of coaches, and every time there's something that has to be looked at, you see that Steve looks to the second row, and there are three people with their heads down into their tablets or their laptops or whatever, and they're trying to see if they should twirl the finger or not. You have your first row of players and coaches, and then there's the row two of coaches and trainers and whatnots, and then there'd be the third row of me and you, if you're interested, and 11 or 12 of our YouTube audience. Why aren't you playing Kuminga?
Yeah, I just
put in TJD.
I'll just take the good seats. I don't want an iPad or anything. I don't want to do anything. I just watch the game. I mean, if anybody points at me, I'll just point back at them. I don't know.
Yeah.
What are we looking over here for, Coach?
Well, I just want to be the guy to, like, you know, go up to him and be like, hey, I think Pat Spencer works here, Steve. I want to be like the third row hot taker and represent the audience and, you know, represent all of the wild takes. Hey, Steve, if you don't drop a good play here, we may have to ask you to step down.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Steve, are you available Monday or Thursday next week?
Totally.
Like, that's all I don't think that sounds good for Warrior basketball at all.
What, me in the third row?
Correct.
Offering up advice?
I'm out.
I mean,
I'm out on that idea.
I think Knox fits here. It's a good matchup for Knoxy. Yeah.
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 Well, I mean, look, you know, here we go, dude. Here we go. Going into the big weekend. And again, if you're not an NBA injury report person, yeah, Portland is sitting most of their people tonight. They're sitting most of their people. Denny Avdija, he is out. Jeremy Grant is out. Ayton is out. Scoot Henderson is out. Bryce McGowan's out. Anthony Simons is out. Robert Williams has been out the whole year. So tonight's going to go well for the Warriors. That's how I feel.
I mean, it should.
Yeah,
right?
By the way, the Rockets are doing the same thing again in L.A. against the Lakers tonight. I know this matters less now to a Warrior fan because the Rockets and Lakers are both officially out of reach. So whatever, do you. But the Rockets are kicking yet another game tonight in L.A., which makes me wonder what they're going to do on Sunday. That's actually where my mind goes with Houston right now, because they play the Nuggets on Sunday. And that becomes more interesting really quick for everybody involved, especially the two teams that will be playing here at Chase Center, the Warriors and the Clippers.
Right. If you're Houston, what's your motivation to go out there and have guys play?
I guess I would argue, like, not sitting for a full 2 weeks before you play. I don't know if that's a good thing. That's a long time off.
Feels to me like that's more of a football thing than it is a basketball thing.
Maybe.
And this is something we can ask a former player at some point about rest versus rust, because in baseball, I get it where, you know, you're locked in, and if you're hitting well, you don't want a day off. You want to keep going, and you want to keep hitting, and you want to stay locked in. In football, yeah, you'd like to have a week off to not have to beat up your body, but, you know, rest versus rust. I do think in football, if you sit that last week and then you get the bye and now you're 2 weeks removed, there is a little bit of a rust factor. And if you fall behind 14-0, now it totally changes your game plan. In basketball, I don't even know if that's a factor.
What about the teams that don't have anything going on? Those are the ones, and I get it. Now we're in the tankathon.
Like Portland.
Well, Brooklyn is in Minnesota tonight. This is a big basketball game.
So for Minnesota?
Yes. Yes. But Brooklyn will have Nick Claxton out, Cam Johnson out, D'Angelo Russell out, Cam Thomas out, Zaire Williams out, De'Anthony Melton out. Now, he's got a good reason. But anyway, you get the idea. There's just a lot of teams doing this down the stretch. I think right now what the NBA has to offer everybody is pretty good. We've talked about that. There's a lot of intrigue in regular season games. We don't usually get that. There is a lot of parity in the Western Conference. We don't always get that, but what we're also getting is a very, very lengthy injury report for a lot of teams, and a lot of these guys are not injured.
Well, if you're Brooklyn right now, you are sixth to worst in the association. You can't catch Philadelphia, and Toronto can't catch you. So no matter what you do, if you're Brooklyn, you're going to be sixth most in terms of lottery odds when the actual lottery happens. So if you're Brooklyn, you have no incentive to win or lose. So
go play.
So don't play.
Why? Go play
because
basketball.
Because Cam Johnson, something happens, and then you no longer can trade him in the offseason.
I don't even know that they're trying to do that.
Whatever you're trying to
do,
what you're trying to do is protect your assets and try again next year.
I guess. I mean, what you and I kind of talked about with regard to something like this earlier, I remember in the years, like, if all you're worried about is, like, catastrophic injury, I don't know, man. Like, how often does that happen? I'm not saying it doesn't, and obviously you feel like you got egg on your face if it does, but by the same token, dude, look, if you twist an ankle, you twist an ankle. Like, we're literally sitting people now because we're afraid of torn ACLs. Like, even if you broke something, you'd be ready to go by next season.
Yeah, not an Achilles.
That's not a break.
Not an ACL.
That's what I said. Not a tear. Like
fine. If you want to talk about breaks or tears, it doesn't matter. Yeah, if you break a finger, fine. If you have a hangnail, but unfortunately, what we have now in the association is a disincentive to play. Mm. Players are guaranteed money, and teams are getting better draft picks if they actually don't go out there and win. So if you're Brooklyn, you have no incentive to win. Your incentive to play your best players is non-existent.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. I want to bring this back up. We promised that we would. There were some people who called about it earlier. We do not want to spend the rest of the show on this at all, because we're all aware where kind of the Jonathan Kuminga conversation goes. And I think everybody is just exhausted by the idea of, like, are you in his corner or are you not? He's a Warrior. I'm in his corner. We all want him to play well. But there are more intricate things that have come up. And these comments with us yesterday from Steve Kerr certainly got a lot of interest when he talked about how J.K. is fitting in and what's the plan in the playoffs.
You know, Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four. You know, there's no doubt that, you know, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning. And Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went like, you know, 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning. But the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, frankly. It just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked. And this is just part of the deal, you know, being in the NBA. And you got to adapt to whatever, you know, whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And, you know, there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening. And I have to read that as a coach.
The quote is, the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, quite frankly. It just doesn't. So how does that grab you? And what do the Warriors do about that, both now and into the future, I think is a very, very fair question. 888-957-9570 is the number. Zena Kata, NBC Sports Bay Area, is a half hour away. This is the last regulation 95-7 the game show of the NBA regular season. Your last chance to weigh in on where is your Warriors' confidence after what we saw them do on Wednesday, and of course what they did in the prior week or two. 888-957-9570. Your call's next, Willard and Dibs. So I'm fading, and I want y'all to fade with me.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Not what this show is about.
About what?
But I do love them tonight.
Who?
The Warriors.
Giving?
14.
At?
Portland.
Against?
The Blazers.
Played by?
People who have Blazers jerseys.
Yeah. It's time to play. Name that Blazer. Don't worry about it.
Donovan Klingon, double-double tonight.
Yeah.
The Klingon. Yeah.
Is he from Oregon?
No.
UConn. Okay. I know. And just the way you were so excited made me think that he was
He's just one of the Trailblazers that I know is going to play tonight.
Okay. Yeah. So his 10 points and 10 rebounds. Portland will need at least about 110 more points if they'd like to stay in this one. But
Kling Kong. It's one of the best nicknames going in sports right now.
Yeah. I mean, sure. If anybody knew who he was, it would be, but very few people do. And so anyway, yeah, I think the Warriors are going to be really good tonight. I think they're going to be very, very professionally buttoned up tonight.
But you won't bet it because you don't like to conflate your personal interest with your gambling interest.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's normally what you do.
I hesitate to do it. It's not a rule.
You know what that is, right?
It's a hesitation sensation.
That's right.
But it's
cha-ching!
It's not a rule.
I know it's not a rule, but you tend to not do that.
Yeah, and sometimes I break tendencies.
Okay. Rarely.
Anyway, just from me to you.
Sure.
Okay, and then we can do on Monday, hey, Willard, your picks stink if something goes wrong. But
well, you can't just like...
What? Yes, do it. Do it.
You have to make the sound.
Cuckoosh.
Thank you.
Yeah. How did you turn that into cuckoosh? How did that happen?
Because when you do
but
the sound...
No, shush. No, there's no shush.
It became part of the fun of the bit where I would go into my full football pick and I'd lock it up. Coo-coo.
Yeah, but it's more like
you can do it however you want.
Yeah.
And if we want to do like fade the Willard next year, we can do that and you can come up with your own thing. But
not
what happened
fun.
Is, right, it became an organic part of the bit. And so now every time like you want to make a pick, you got to add in a cuckoo.
No, I was here for all of it. I remember. I just didn't know how you came up with those particular sound effects, which don't necessarily mimic the actual sound that's happening. I was just curious.
Well, because sometimes, cuckoosh. Sometimes, cuckoosh. Cuckoosh. Exactly. Sometimes it's fun to be slightly inaccurate for the sake of humor and frivolity.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is.
There's the answer I was looking
Much for. Much like my, when I do my Kyle Shanahan and stuff, it's not necessarily like a spot on impersonation and stuff. And more about the monotone and stuff. And it's more about, just doing Kyle and stuff. And
no, I get that.
What are you asking exactly?
I'm not looking for.
You know what that is, by the way.
It's an impersonation sensation.
Thank you. Yeah.
You're welcome. Like, Cha-ching! Earlier today, Martin Wayans was doing his brother and his other brother, and it was like, oh my God. And he did his Chris Rock.
And then he did Chris Rock.
And it's like, okay, those are all 5 out of 5s, and that's why you have own movie, why you're doing stand-up. I'm just a sports talk radio host looking for 3s and 4s. So when I do my Farhan, it's not really me trying to sound like him. I'm trying to mimic his laugh. And it's almost like with a twinge of mean-spiritedness. And that's what I do.
There's no tinge of mean-spiritedness. It's dripping with it.
Right.
And dripping with it.
And
my impersonations come from true love. Yeah, like
right,
I love
every
that
time
man.
He speaks, he grunts and groans.
Absolutely.
Like that.
I was in the locker room with him after every game that year. I would sit there and I would listen to him and people would fire questions at him and Buster, that's why it's great to have a guy like Buster behind the plate. And that's what
you make him sound like Billy Bob Thornton in Sling Blade.
Well, but hey, to your point, you got to push an impersonation a little further or else it's not funny.
Gabe
didn't say obviously that much. Obviously, but he said it a lot.
And nor did he start every answer with "we." As an organization.
Remember that time when I did it to him?
Impressive.
That was one of my top 5 favorite moments
show.
Yeah.
And way back in the day, back when, before Steve Kerr was the head coach, they had a coach named Mark Jackson.
Yes.
And I did my Mark Jackson for Mark Jackson.
You did? How did it go?
He liked it.
Okay.
He thought it was pretty good.
Did you do the Mama, There Goes That Man?
It
was
more
it
about
else?
Hand down, man down. It was some of that, And there were some other Mark Jackson-isms that I went with, but... He thought it was pretty good.
I do like Mama, There Goes That Man. It's a great way to end a segment.
Yeah.
Like, that's how he would do it. He uses it when they're, like, going to break, and there's the slow-mo highlight of a great player putting in a bucket to get to 35 in the third quarter, and he's like, Anthony Edwards with the step back, Mama, There Goes That Man. And then, bang, it's a commercial for Home Depot or something like that.
Yeah.
I loved that.
I did, too.
Yeah.
And now they say that about his career.
Well, that happens.
He hit you with the...
I thought that was funny. I got silence followed by silence. I thought that was a good way to end it. Mama, there goes that career.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He'd hit you with with all due respect, too. He would give you that one.
Yeah.
With all due respect. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. I think we're just stalling now.
Until
we play this
Zena Kata?
No, from Steve Kerr.
You know, Jimmy's arrival took away a lot of Jonathan's minutes at the four. You know, there's no doubt that, as soon as Jimmy arrived and we started winning, we leaned into lineup combinations that enhanced Jimmy because we were winning. And Jonathan was out for that whole stretch. We went 17-3 or something. So we're going to keep doing what's been winning. But the lineup with Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond doesn't fit real well, frankly. It just doesn't. We need more spacing. We've found other lineups that have clicked. And this is just part of the deal, being in the NBA. And you got to adapt to whatever's happening with the team. Jonathan's done a great job of that. He's working hard. He's playing well when he's out there. But I'm just going with the lineup combinations that I think are going to give us the best chance to win. And there's going to be nights where he's absolutely part of that, like the Laker game. And then there's going to be nights where I go to Buddy or Moses or Gary Payton. It just changes every game based on what's happening, and I have to read that as a coach.
Yeah, I don't really find what he just said there to be controversial at all. I can tell that a lot of people do. There's going to be this sort of thread-through frustration about Jonathan Kuminga's role in his minutes, all the time. What I hear when I listen to that, though, is like a bigger problem, because whether it's feelings or contracts or opinions, there's really no room for those things when you get to the start of a playoff run. Like, there's examples of that all over the place. You know, we've seen it a lot with championship runs from the San Francisco Giants, where major names were pushed to the side in favor of, hey, you're not doing well right now, or this doesn't fit. Tim Lincecum, Pablo Sandoval, Barry Zito. Like, there were big names, big contracts for people, and they were just like, yeah, we're not using you because we're in the midst of trying to do something very special right now, and so we can't deal with that right now. But when I hear him say that, the bigger thing that goes through my head is the future. How much do you value, how much do you pay a guy that you're saying out loud, you basically, you don't want to play him when Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green are both on the floor? Well, those guys are on the floor a lot.
Right.
A lot.
Yeah, and that's
They are your stars.
And that's your three, and that's your four, or that's your three, and that's your five. And so if Kuminga is going to play the four, if you want to go with a Butler, Kuminga, Draymond trio, well, then it would have to work. And if it doesn't work, then you can't play Kuminga with Butler and Draymond, because when Steph goes out, Steve has said it, Jimmy's going to play all of the non-Steph minutes. So it's going to be Jimmy out there. So if Jimmy and Kuminga don't play great together, and it's too early to really tell that from a long lens, I think, but I mean, it's been a small sample.
Yeah.
But if you want to look at it from what you're saying, the bigger picture of it, then if Jimmy's going to play the non-Steph minutes, then Kuminga can't really play the non-Steph minutes, and so can he only play the non-Jimmy minutes? Well, and Jimmy, by the way, he tends to play this time of year 38 minutes.
Exactly. Now, he didn't say the Jimmy and Jonathan lineup doesn't fit. He said the Jimmy, Jonathan, and Draymond lineup doesn't fit. So, essentially, and this is maybe why we see a lot of 17, 18, 19 minutes a night for Jonathan, what you're looking at is, where are the windows when either Jimmy or Draymond are not on the floor, and is Steph on the floor for that time? Obviously, anytime Jimmy comes out, Steph is going to be on the floor. That's an opportunity for Jonathan to come in. Or if Steph is on the floor with Jimmy and Draymond goes out, that might be an opportunity for Jonathan to get in. But what you're going to see, I think, is largely an average of about 4 to 5 minutes a quarter where that even exists. And you give Jonathan as much of those as you possibly can, and you hope, actually, that lowering those minutes to a certain degree, if that's how you want to phrase it, calls for him to really go crazy with his effort, rebounding the basketball and playing defense, because that's what they really want from him. And then what I also think is really difficult when you hear this, because everyone is so in their feelings about this, this isn't about Jonathan. It's simply about different skill sets. You know, the Warriors acquired another wing player who's not a great three-point shooter. There aren't that many of them left in the NBA. There just aren't that many of them left. Wings who don't shoot threes? What are we doing? That doesn't exist. And the Warriors went and found a great player who fits that bill. And so what that means is you can't have Jonathan and Jimmy be wings at the same time, because neither of them do a good job of shooting threes.
Especially if Draymond's going to be the other man of that five-man combo. You can't have Draymond, Jimmy, and Kuminga all out there and still want to be a team that goes up and tries to shoot the three. And I asked Steve that about the San Antonio game where they shot 48 threes. And I asked him, were you a little bit too three happy? And he said, no, I don't think so. We want to be a team that goes out there and tries to shoot the three. We want a space. We want to shoot the three. That's who we want to be. So if you take that as fact, and I do, then you look at the Warriors and you think about, what's that team that's going to have at least three shooters, if not more, on the court at any one time? And if you've got Pods and you want to call him a shooter, and it's fair to do that, he's been shooting it great. Okay, he's a shooter. Moody's a shooter. And Buddy's a shooter. Sometimes you wish he wouldn't shoot as much. I mean, but he does. But beyond that, Kevon, no. Draymond, no. Jimmy, no. And Kuminga, no. So what are we doing? You can't play Kuminga, Jimmy, and Draymond at the same time and still want to be a team that shoots a lot of threes.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.